in verse 18. Going to talk about another Old Testament picture of Christ. I will raise them up a prophet. See how that's capitalized? A prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? How can we tell when God you haven't spoken? That's what they're asking. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. All right. West Virginia died this morning, went home to be with the Lord. But he was the first man that Scott Richardson baptized. And he took care of the finances at the church there for like 40 years, 45, something like that. And the work of this man, he was, you never seen anybody work like him. But now, you know what, when they told me it happened, I said, I sure do rejoice now. You can't help but rejoice. Huh? Leave this world of flesh, drop this robe of flesh, and shout while going through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. All right, I'm going to talk about Christ our prophet, another Old Testament picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read there where God said, I'll raise up them, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, like unto Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken or listen unto my words which he shall speak, my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now our Lord Jesus, it's clear from God's precious word, God's blessed word, that our Lord Jesus Christ has a threefold office. Nobody else had this, all these offices. He was a prophet, he's a priest, and he's a king. Now David was a king and also a prophet. Aaron was a priest, but he wasn't a prophet. David was a king, but he wasn't a priest. So only one person held all three of those offices at one time, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And no one's ever been a prophet and a priest and a king in one person except the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think how gracious God is. How blessedly gracious God is. And the Lord is to send us a prophet. Send among us so great a prophet. Not just a prophet, a great prophet. He's called the Son of God, Emmanuel. God come down to be with us. God with us. That's who it was, this great prophet. And oh, what a gracious thing, a gift that God gave us. A prophet, and sent him among us. And a great prophet, great prophet. And what a prophet our Lord Jesus Christ is. What a prophet he is. You know, Moses came from the earth. Elijah came from the earth. All the other prophets came from the earth. But our Lord Jesus Christ came from above. He came down. He came to this earth. And he came down and God blessed him and gave him the Holy Spirit without measure. And he fulfilled what others only talked about. He fulfilled all the prophets. To him, all the prophets give witness. And I tell you what, he fulfilled all the scriptures, what only others all talked about. Declaring the whole, he declared the whole counsel of God. declared all of it. Now we say we do, you know. Paul said, I've declared the whole counsel of God unto you. Christ really, really did. And he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I want you to look at something with me. Over in 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy with me. I want you to see something over here. Talking about a prophet, our Lord Jesus Christ. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And he came down from heaven above all. Everybody else has the Holy Spirit by a certain amount, by a certain measure. But our Lord Jesus, God gave him the Spirit without measure. In fact, all the Spirit and all the... When the Holy Spirit comes to us, the Comforter comes to us, He comes to us through Christ and because of Christ. Because He's got Him without measure. Got Him without measure. But look here in verse 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul's talking to Timothy here. Now he's in prison and he says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, what's what I'm going to tell you? We've talked about God saving us, God calling us, God's purpose of grace in Christ given to us. But now this grace and this calling and this purpose by Christ is now made manifest, brought to where we can see it by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to this now. Who abolished death. Abolished it. When you abolish something, that means it don't exist anymore. Now, He abolished death. That's what, when we say that, you know, our Lord said, I give unto them eternal life. That means that you don't have death. We have a physical death, but not no death. We don't, you know, death has had its sting took out of it. Death has had its fear took out of it. And here, oh my, did God abolish death? That's why when God calls somebody home, we say, thank God, bless the Lord, rejoice in Christ. Why? Because death, they got the victory over it. How come? Because Christ abolished it. And listen to this, and then not only did He abolish death, but He brought life. Brought life. And immortality to light where we can see it through the gospel. Now that's what our prophet did. That's what our prophet did. You remember when our Lord Jesus was standing talking to the Samaritan woman at the well? She said, I know that when the Messiah cometh, He'll tell us all things. All things. You know what our Lord said? He said, I that speak unto thee am He. And oh, what a prophet He is. And I'll tell you something else. We see, we know the absolute necessity of having such a prophet. You know what would be if God didn't send us a prophet? Didn't send His Son to be our prophet? And a prophet is one who speaks for God. A prophet is one who speaks for God. God gives him something to say and he speaks for God. Moses, God said, I'm going to send you down to Egypt, and you're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But he said, well, when I go down there, who in the world am I going to tell them sent me? Somebody's got to send you. Somebody's got to give you something to say. He said, will you tell them I am that I am sent you down there? And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ is. God gave Him to us, and we absolutely need a prophet sent from God. And I tell you, if He hadn't come and been our prophet to speak to God, speak the words of God and the word of God in His mouth. And He said time and again, He said, the words that I speak, they're not mine. Let the Father give me these words. And I tell you, do you know what we'd do? We'd still be in blindness. We'd still be in darkness. We'd still have no idea about who God is. We'd still have no idea about how to be saved. We wouldn't know anything about His Word. We'd be sitting in darkness, in blindness. And I tell you, His words, though, are true, and His words are faithful. And to hear Him, to hear the Lord, is to hear God Himself. That's what our Master said. The words that I speak, they're not mine, they're my Father's. I speak what my Father commanded me to speak. And Hebrews 1 said, in sundry times and in different manners, God in time past, way back yonder, spake to the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us, how? By Son. By the Son. And so I tell you, thank God that He sent us a prophet. And what a prophet He is. And how blessed we are. How blessed we are. And those who do hear and believe Him. You know, when you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you hear Him. And you believe Him. And you know when you believe Him, you believe He's the voice of God. The Word of God. Speaking. And you hear Him. He says, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. And I tell you, beloved, and it's inexcusable. It'll be inexcusable for those who refuse to hear Him. He says, our Lord said in John 3:35, He says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth on him. And to refuse to believe the Lord Jesus, that one great prophet, that eternal high priest of whom Moses was a type, eternal high priest of whom Aaron was a type, and the great King of Kings of whom David was but a type. And so when he was born King of the Jews. And when he died, they wrote over his tomb, King of the Jews. And not only is he King of the Jews, but he's King over everything that rises and wriggles on this earth. I mean, he's in absolute control. You know, I watch a lot of these old, you know, you read about some of these kings, and they've had good kings, they've had bad kings in England, kings all over the world, and some of them are awful. And their word, I mean, a man can live or die just at the word of a king. The word of a king. I mean, if a king looked and said, they took you out immediately. So you imagine what it is for the Lord Jesus Christ to be King of Kings, sitting with all power and all authority vested in Him, ruling and reigning. Ruling and reigning. And it always, I've told you this before, but over in Acts 17, one thing that they accuse Paul of, that he preaches another king, even one Jesus. Now I preached that the Lord Jesus Christ was king one time in a premillennial, fundamental, dispensational Baptist church. And I preached, and they all thought that, you know, that he's not coming. He's only going to be king for 1,000 years and reign for 1,000 years in Jerusalem, sitting on a throne over there. Well, I got up and preached that he's king now, always has been king, was king before he got here, was king when he got here, and he is always king. They excluded me. Run me off. And I thought the preacher's going to whip me. He was really upset. Poked me in the chest. You know that's not so. I said, no. I said, Paul preached him as the king. Didn't he? And that's the thing that upset the Jews. Said, well, if he's the king, then, you know, if we don't kill him and don't destroy him, then the Romans are going to come and take away our nation. So we can't have but one king, and it's got to either be Caesar or it's got to be Christ. And we choose Caesar. Well, bless his name. Thank God that we have been able, by blessed of God, to see him as our prophet like Moses, our priest like Aaron, and our king of kings like David. Huh? And oh, and I tell you, here's the thing. God makes a promise. God makes a promise here in verse 18. Deuteronomy 18:18. The promise declares and tells us that the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee one great prophet. Do you remember when our Lord Jesus came and John the Baptist came, and one thing they asked him, said, "Are you that prophet that should come?" They knew a prophet was coming. "Are you that prophet?" John said, "No, I'm not." "Are you the Christ?" "No, I'm not." Said, "But there's one coming after me. And I'm not worthy to bow down and unlatch his shoes or tie his shoe latchet." And I tell you, this is that prophet that God promised. All of the true prophets and all of the faithful priests were ordained and sent of God. Nobody can go without being sent of God. And there's very few prophets that God used in the Old Testament. Very few. Very few prophets that God used in the Old Testament. But they were ordained of God and they had sent of God, and no man takes these offices unto himself. God has to put that you in that office and call you to be in that office. But this promise here is of one person. He said, "I'll raise up a prophet from among your brethren." Huh? "I'll raise up one person, one prophet." And I tell you, our Lord Jesus and the Word, He was not only is He the prophet, but He was the Word of God who come and was the prophet. He was God's Word come down. You know, they spoke the Word of God. They didn't, none of them had it completely. And the Spirit of God would come on a man, he'd prophesy. Then he'd leave him, and he'd go on about his business. But our Lord Jesus Christ, when He come down, and He was the prophet, He was God's Word come down itself. Huh? In the beginning was the Word. And that Word was God. That Word was with God. And the Word was made flesh. Oh, God said, "I'm going to send a prophet." Well, that prophet came down here. And we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you know what our Master said? Oh, Philip said, "Lord, if You'll show us the Father, that'll finally satisfy us. That will satisfy us." You know what He said? "Philip, he that hath seen Me has seen the Father." When you look at Me, you're looking at the Father. You know, I said that the other morning. This is one of the most mysterious things, or Sunday night, I believe, one of the most mysterious things in the world, in this whole universe. Not only that God was manifest in the flesh. That's a great mystery without controversy. But to think that the Father said, "I'm going to raise up a prophet." Now this prophet that He raised up was eternal as God Himself. But yet, He was raised up as a man to become a prophet. And the one and last and final prophet that God would use. Huh? And I'll tell you, he that heard Him and he that's heard Him heard the Father speak. Now Moses, oh, he was a wonderful prophet, great prophet. Elijah, he was such a prophet that the Scripture says that God come down in a chariot of fire and took him to glory. Elisha was standing there watching him and watched him go up in a chariot. God took him to glory. Two men God took to glory without dying. Enoch and Elijah. And you know why He done that? To let us know what it's going to be like when He calls us out of here. And I tell you, this promise here that I will raise up them a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. The promise that God would raise up this prophet from the midst of thee. From the midst of thee, of thy brethren. And you know what that tells us? Is that our Lord Jesus Christ was of the nation of Israel. He was a Jew. According to the flesh, he was of the tribe of Judah. And he was of the household of David. Look in Romans 1. Look in Romans 1. That's what I'm talking about. He is of Israel according to the flesh, of the tribe of Judah. And Romans 1. You know, and he was like unto Moses. But look what it said here. It said in verse 1, Romans 1. This is what we're talking about. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. That's what I mean. Got to be sent of God. Separated unto the gospel of God. Now, this is what I want you to look at. This gospel, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Huh? God promised that this, according to the Scriptures, that he had promised. And that, what did he promise in the Scriptures? What did he say? And what did he talk about? Concerning the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen to it. Made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That means he come of the tribe of Judah. That's how he was born king. He had the throne of David, and he'll sit on that throne forever and ever and ever. And he said he'll make him like unto Moses. And what that means is, Moses was a man, Christ is a man. Moses was God's prophet. Moses was a mediator between God and man. But here's the difference in Christ being the mediator and Moses being the mediator. Moses was a mediator of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the law. And the law kills. The law condemns. And he was a mediator between them. And how many times did he plead for God on the behalf of Israel? Don't destroy them. Don't kill them. God told him one time, I'm going to destroy them and I'm going to raise up a new nation and I'll make you head over that new nation. He said, no, 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 no. And he was a mediator of the law between them and God. But our Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator of a better covenant established upon better promises than him. And then he goes on to say, not only is he a mediator, and God's the mediator, Christ the only mediator between us and God. And I tell you what, he performed great miracles. Moses performed great, great miracles. I tell you what, when he, you know the greatest miracle he performed right when he was getting ready to come out of Egypt and bring them out of Egypt? When he raised up his rod and parted them waters. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, I tell you what, we stand still now. And we see the salvation of the Lord. We see Christ, God's salvation. And I tell you, he performed miracles. But who performed more miracles than the Lord Jesus Christ did? Who did more than he did? And then Moses delivered his people from bondage, Egypt's bondage. Our Lord Jesus came and delivered us from the bondage of sin, the bondage of law, the bondage of depravity, the bondage of darkness. And he is so infinitely far, so far above Moses and to all the other prophets, for he himself is the Son of God. Moses was just a man. Christ was a man, but he is also God, the Son of God. And then look what else God said about him here in verse 18. And we'll put my words in his mouth. I'll put my words in his mouth. Oh my. My words in his mouth. And our Lord Jesus, all the days that he is on this earth, he always told about. The words that I speak, they're not mine. They're the words that the Father gave me to speak. And so everything that come out of his mouth was God's word. And you know, that's what we say when we talk about the Lord Jesus, that he himself, when he spoke, he was speaking word of God. Everything he said was the word of God. And I tell you, you know, God said, I'm going to put my words in his mouth. So every word our Savior spoke, God put the words in his mouth. Huh? And I tell you what, his words, first of all, is the words of life. They're the words of life. When our Lord Jesus Christ speaks, he don't speak about facts. He don't just speak about facts concerning God and the kingdom of heaven. When he speaks, men live. When he speaks, life comes. When he speaks, dead men come out of graves. Ain't that right? Lazarus! Come forth. Young man, get out of that casket. Got out of that casket. Young lady, get up. And when he speaks now, because he's the Word of God and he's God's great prophet, when he speaks now, he still gives dead men life. Huh? Oh my. No, he don't just talk about facts, but he speaks and men live spiritually. You know, who read it Sunday night? By his own will, begat he us with the word of truth. And we begotten again by the gospel, by the word of God, by the gospel. So that's how life comes, by the word, by the word. And I tell you, where that word goes, the power goes with it. Power goes with it. And not only is he the word of life, no wonder his disciples said. He said, when all that multitude walked away from him, well, you also looked at the 12, you also going to go away? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words. Thou hast the words of eternal life. The words that I speak unto you, they are life. And not only that, the words of life, but they're words of truth. Words of truth. Does anybody doubt that our Lord Jesus Christ was God's true and faithful witness? That everything he said was true. I mean, not only was he speak the truth, but he himself said he was the truth. He said, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Sanctify him with thy truth. And not only does he bring us the truth, but he gave us a love for the truth. It's one thing to believe the truth, but it's another thing to love that truth. And to love the truth that Christ teaches and preaches to us. When he stood before Pilate, Pilate says to him, are you king of the Jews? He said, did you know this of yourself or somebody else? He said, well, tell us the truth. And he said, what is truth? And then you know what he said? They that are of the truth hear the truth. Huh? They that are of the truth hear the truth. Hear the truth. And I tell you, I believed a lie for years. I did. I really did. Some of you did too. Some of you did too. And I taught a lie. And some of you believe that lie. I preached legalism, fundamentalism, preached works. But God brought the truth. And that truth set me free. And whom the set sets free, he is free indeed. And of all the things that I'm ashamed of in my life, and I'm ashamed of a lot of things, but the most thing I'm ashamed of is what I said about God before he taught me the gospel. What I not only said about him, what I believed about him, what I taught about him. And not only is his word the words of life and the word of truth, he said, I'll put my words in his mouth. But his words are words of grace. Words of grace. He's full of grace. Full of it. You know, we get just a little bit. He gives us just a little bit. Scott used to say, if he give me just a crumb, I can go a long time on a crumb. He is full of it. How can somebody be, when something's full of something, there's can't hold no more? Well, Christ is full of grace. And not only is he full of grace, but he's full of truth. And when he has words of grace and words of truth, he speaks that words of grace. And where that word of grace goes, and where that word of truth goes, it brings peace. It brings forgiveness. It brings pardon. It brings life. It brings salvation from sin. Salvation from this awful, awful thing that sin that held us in such bondage. And this, and our Lord Jesus, as God's prophet, the one that, you know, a prophet speaks for God. Christ came, and not only did he speak for God, he was God. And here he come full of words of grace. And I tell you, he came not to condemn the world. You know why he didn't come to condemn the world? The world was already condemned. I was condemned. And he didn't have to come to condemn the world. It was condemned when Adam fell. And everybody mourns under that condemnation. And then Christ comes. And he comes. And he brings the gospel. And he himself is the gospel. He is that good news. And he brings that good news with him. And he came bringing that gospel. He is that gospel. And when a man hears his words, hears his words, and believes on him, he'll never die. Ain't that what our Savior said? Huh? The gospel is the power of God. It's God's power unto salvation. Huh? And here's the thing, you can't separate the Savior and his word. You can't do it. For he himself is the word. And listen, nobody can call on him who does not believe him. And no one can believe him who has not heard of him. And the only person that can make you hear of him is he himself. I can speak to your ears, I can speak to your brain. But only God can speak to that heart and that soul. Huh? Christ, that God's prophet, he's the only one that can speak. And it'd be effectual. Huh? And this is true. I know this without a shadow of a doubt. You can't call on him in whom you not believed. And you can't believe in him if you've never heard of him. So I tell you, this is the thing. That's why we're so adamant about the gospel, so adamant about preaching Christ. You'll never know when somebody will walk in here one of these days and walk out and go into eternity. And wouldn't it be awful for them to go out into eternity and not you come in here and we was talking about all the isms that's in the world. Talking about how bad the world's at. Talking about how we ought to start living right and start talking about how to have a happy marriage and all that kind of stuff. And they go out here and they hear that and they go out into eternity. Well, if we done that, we wouldn't care anyway. But if you're preaching the gospel, and if a person comes in and hears it and they walk out here and drop dead, one thing you know, he heard the gospel one time in his life. That's why it's so important. Necessary, absolutely necessary, to constantly and continue preach the gospel. The words of grace. Oh, he's so full of grace. Oh, grace just comes out of him. He gives it out by the handfuls. And then look here in verse 19. Let me say this and hurry up And look what it says here. That, and this shall come to pass. And he goes, speak to people all that I shall command. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken or listen unto my words which I put in his mouth, which he shall speak in my name. He said, Father, glorify thou me with the glory I had with thee before the world was. I finished the work you gave me to do. But look what he says. He said, will not hearken unto my words. My words.